in our worship. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Sunday school today, we had 229, and the babies had perfect attendance. On the 21st of this month, the men will be taking a trip to Mount Airy. That'll give JD plenty of time to get the biscuits ready. If any of you have questions about the biscuits, you can also see Kenny Inman. He changes his work schedule accordingly, so when we go, so he can get there. But it is a good trip, and it's a good time of fellowship. So if you'll keep that in mind, and please don't forget the Sunday school picnic today at 5 o'clock. You just bring covered dish or desserts, and the rest will be provided. And the goal for the WMU mission project is collecting money for World Hunger. And the Samaritan's Purse, please remember that. And you can also sign up if you want to go on December the 6th. And the Samaritan boxes are in the vestibule, ready to be picked up. And if you would rather give money toward the shipping costs rather than doing a box, you can make the check out to Samaritan's Purse, or you can put a check in one of the field boxes. And they need to be in by November the 6th. There will be an offering taken today for the Benevolence Fund. And the Alma Hunt offering, our goal is $4,500. When this was printed, we have $3,578, so we're well on our way to that. And keep in mind also that you still have time to place an order for a T-shirt if you would like to do that. Jeremy, did you want to meet with the group today about the construction? No? Okay. That's all I have. Let's go to the Lord in worship.
Here this morning. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of praise, but real quickly before we do, I have one quick announcement. We are going to, and I say we, Shirley Cravens has, bless her little heart, because y'all know how much she does, but she is getting together a handbell choir for us to have for Christmas so that we can have the handbells for during the Christmas season. And so she is organizing anybody who has played before or who is interested in playing, but you may not have played before. There's going to be four practices starting in November, the 9th, the 16th, the 30th, and then on December the 7th. And then the handbell choir will be playing during the month of December. So So anybody interested, I will make sure that this is in the bulletin. It was my fault that it's not this week. So make sure that this is in the bulletin to remind you that starting November 9th at 4 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, we're going to start with handbell practice, and it will just run through Christmas. So be thinking about that and praying about that if that's something you'd be interested in joining. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of praise this morning. There is power in the blood. We're going to sing the first and the last stanza. Let's stand and sing.
Please join me in prayer. Father God, we are so grateful for that power that's available to us, a divine power, not of our own making, not of our own ability, but Lord, the power that comes from knowing you, that's greater than any force in this world, that is able to help us do anything. So Father, we just praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, for all the things that you provide us with day in and day out. And Lord, as we have come together this morning, I pray, Lord, that you will meet with us in a very unique and a special way. I ask that your Holy Spirit settle on our auditorium so that we can feel your power and your presence here with us. I pray that hearts will be stirred and people will be strengthened. They will have resolve and perseverance and grace, Lord, for everything that's going on in their lives, Lord. We're a needy people. There's always something, Father, that's going on that's beyond our control. And so, Father, we need you every day. And on those days when we may not need you quite as much, it's just a comfort to know that you're there, that if something comes up, that you're with us and more than capable to handle anything that we face. So, Father, as we have come together today, help us to forget about the past week and not worry about the things that are in front of us, but help us to take this time together and just enter into your presence, kneel before you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Father, the time we spend together will not only draw us closer to your heart, but will bless you as we worship you in all your majesty and glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
For our offertory hymn, we're just going to sing one stanza of "Oh, How He Loves You and Me." Let's stand and sing.
He gave his life for
offertory scripture this morning is taken from John 6:51. I am the living bread which comes down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day that you've given us. We thank you for the many blessings of life. We thank you for the blessings you've bestowed upon our church. We just ask that you will help us to receive the message that you have us to this morning, Lord. And please help all of us to remember the power of prayer and to always turn to you, Lord, for our needs, no matter what they may be. Now, Father, we just ask that you will be with all of the people that were mentioned this morning in Sunday school. Take care of their needs. Hear the prayers been lifted up for them and those who have the unspoken request. Now, Father, we just ask that you will take this offering today and use it for the uplifting of your kingdom. For we do ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Will you please stand and join us in our doxology? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, choir. As the choir is coming down, I'd like to take a few moments and just go to the Lord in prayer for our loved ones, our friends that are on our prayer list, and certainly that are in our hearts. Maybe someone is in your heart, somebody that God has laid on there, and they're very heavy, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to just go before His throne on their behalf and just lift them up. So would you please join me as we pray together for our friends? Father, we thank You for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, it is indeed a privilege when sinful people can come into the presence of a righteous God and You entertain our ideas, our thoughts, our needs, our desires. We are most blessed. Thank You, Father, for making Yourself available to us so that we can find a sense of peace in this life, so that we can realize that in the midst of very tumultuous times, when life seems chaotic and out of control, we can come to You and find Your power to be all-consuming. We can bring our petitions, our heartfelt desires before You and leave them. And know that You won't just store them up and put them away on a shelf. You will hear them and You will work on our behalfs. You will take notice of our petitions and our intercessions. They will gain Your ear and Your attention. Father, I pray that for those that are here today, that maybe you're dealing with a very difficult issue in their lives, something that they can't seem to conquer, something that time and time again has repeated itself in their lives. It has given them great consternation. I pray, Father, that they will find a place of strength, a place of release, a place of refuge, where they can run to and feel safe and sheltered from the blast of this life that sometimes overwhelms us. I pray, Lord, that they will feel Your presence in their hearts in a way that gives them strength, determination, and perseverance, Father, for what lies ahead. May they rest in Your care and know that their Father in heaven has heard them and is now working on their behalf. Lord, I pray for our friends who aren't here. Some are at home. Some, Father, are at nursing homes. Others, Father, in the hospital. And Lord, there are some that recently have experienced the passing of a loved one. Lord, our lives are very temporary. Scripture says it's like a puff of smoke, like a blade of grass that wilts as the day lengthens. Lord, we desperately need You to intervene on behalf of our friends. They're in a place where, in many instances, not even a doctor can help them. But You can. You have all power. You have all wisdom. You have all authority. You can but speak, and things change. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that You speak on behalf of our loved ones, that they will find an insurgence of divine power that comes in them, the Holy Spirit who washes over them, and they will know their loved ones, their friends, are praying for them. We pray that You will bring healing where You choose to bring healing, strength when they must bear up under the load of the burden of their sickness, and grace for every circumstance. I ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that Your will be done in all of their lives and in all of our lives. And Father, may we be good stewards of that grace so that we can live in front of other people a Christian life. the life that says, I have trusted Jesus with everything, and we are at peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Thank you for allowing us to come into your presence. And thank you, Father, for promising to be with us whenever we came together in your name. And it's in that name, in the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. As we get ready to do our communion this morning, I'd like to talk to you just a few moments about something that I think is relevant to all of us in this life. Most of you know that I enjoy football. It has been a part of my life for a long time, whether through playing or officiating or coaching. But I remember on several occasions I have watched movies that were about football. One of those is Friday Night Lights. Maybe some of you have seen Friday Night Lights. In the film, there's a scene where the coach is addressing his team, and he's talking about perfection. This is what Coach Gaines says about being perfect. Now, y'all have known me for a while. For a long time now, you've been hearing me talk about being perfect. Well, I want you to understand something. To me, being perfect is not about that scoreboard out there. It's not about winning. It's about you and your relationship to yourself and your family and your friends. Being perfect is about being able to look your friends in the eye and know that you didn't let them down because you told them the truth. And that truth is that you did everything that you could. There wasn't one more thing that you could have done. Can you live in that moment as best you can, with clear eyes and love in your heart, with joy in your heart? If you can do that, gentlemen, then you're perfect. Now, that's a great dialect for a movie. But I want you to understand something today. There's more to being perfect than what Coach Gaines said. And the truth is, for you and I, it's near impossible. If we mean by perfect, without flaw, without blemish, if that's what we mean by perfect, we can never attain to that this side of heaven. And even in the Scripture, when the Scripture talks about being perfect, it doesn't mean without flaw. It doesn't mean that you never make mistakes and that nothing is ever wrong. If we think that, we set ourselves up for a lot of problems. We have to confess, most often we miss the mark. The mark is set by God. And you and I, being human, just don't always measure up to that mark. Oh, we strive for it, and we strive to excel in whatever it is we do, whether it's on our jobs or in our family or in the church. We try to do the very best that we can. But I dare say that there's anybody here who has done your very best and not stepped back and looked at it and thought, man, I wish I had done this. I wish I had said this. Because in retrospect, we see things and understand things that we didn't while we were in the midst of trying to perform or to conclude something. Our efforts are just not exemplary. They're just not perfect. And so the Lord, recognizing that, has called for us to be perfect in a little bit different way. Let me read to you what the Scripture says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1:27. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing His glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. Perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now, two things. First, the word perfect used in the Scripture means complete. It means whole. It doesn't mean without flaw. He wants to present us complete in the relationship that we have with Christ. Are we perfect? No. Will we interact with God at times where we're not perfect? Yes. Will God step back and say, I'm sorry, I can't accept you because you're not perfect and I'm a perfect God? No, never. Because He knows that we're not without flaw. But He also knows that our relationship with Him through Jesus can be complete. That's what Christ came to do. To bring us back together in a perfect relationship with Jesus. So that it is complete and whole in every way. And listen, if you think your relationship falls short of what it could be and should be, it probably does. And if it does, it is your and my responsibility to change whatever needs to be changed so that the relationship can be complete and whole. The people who find a complete and whole relationship with Christ are the people that are most contented in this life. They're the people who are the most successful. They're the people who are the happiest because the relationship takes precedence over everything else. And if we are complete and whole in the relationship with Christ, then all these other byproducts of the relationship are so much better than they were before. We're so much more in tune with what God's will is for us. We are so much more satisfied with what we are facing in life. And when things do happen that seem to kind of be out of sorts with us or get us out of sorts with God, we know that there is a way through the relationship to come back to God, to come to a place where everything is complete and whole. Not perfect, not without flaw, not without issue. Our lives down here will never be like that. Even on our best day, we have issues. On our most successful endeavor, there are still shortcomings, but we still strive to be complete, to be whole in God, because that's what God wants for us, to be whole in the relationship. Because in being whole in the relationship, we'll make everything else line up perfectly right with God. Listen, the Lord's not looking for perfect people. He didn't save any perfect people. He's not going to take any perfect people to heaven. He's going to take us. Those of us who know Christ and have a relationship with Him. And so today, as we get ready to take communion, you don't have to be a member of our church to enjoy communion with us. I invite you to join in communion at the Lord's table with us if you are a born-again believer. If you have placed your faith in Jesus, if you have been forgiven of your sins, you don't have to be a member of a Southern Baptist church. You don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a member of any church. If you have put your faith in Jesus and you know you have a relationship with Him, then I invite you to join us as we take communion together. If you are a parent today and your child is with you, and your child is not a believer, I would encourage you to use this as a teaching moment to tell them what it means to put their faith in Jesus and the importance of communion. But I would also ask that you not allow them to take communion, because in some way it diminishes the importance of communion, because they see it only as just taking juice and bread. And so use it as a moment to teach them what it means to worship the Lord by coming and eating the Lord's Supper as a church family. So can we have a word of prayer before we begin communion? Father, thank you for this table that we're about to go to, for this Lord's Supper that we are about to take of. Lord, when we eat this meal, when we take these elements, it reminds us of what great love you have for us. I pray, Lord, that it will always be something special, that we'll never just do it for the sake of doing it, but we will see that it is a way to come to you and to renew our relationship with you and to say, we remember your salvation. We remember your great love that was extended to us. So, Father, as we come together, I pray that you will bless this time so that everyone here who partakes of the Lord's table will find a closeness to you and a greater unity together as the body of Christ. Help us, Father, to cleanse our hearts, to come before you pure and holy as we possibly can as we share in this table together. Forgive us, Father, of our sins, for they are many. Cleanse us. Help us to be righteous and holy as you are righteous and holy. And Father, may this be one step in the process of us coming ever closer to your heart. Thank you for this time we are about to share together. In Christ's name I pray. Please stand. We read over in Exodus, the 16th chapter, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" In the New Testament, in John's Gospel, we read that Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Jesus said, "I am the bread." Paul said that this was the body given for us. Every time we eat this, we should remember Jesus giving himself for us. Jeremiah writes, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." John writes in the 7th chapter of his gospel, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water.' But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, 'Truly, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Will the Christ come out of Galilee?'" You and I need to realize that everything we have need of in this life is in Christ our Lord. We are complete and whole in Christ. We can be filled with the Spirit of the living God because of the work that Christ did on Calvary. So when we take this, we remember the blood that was shed so that we could not only know God, but so that we could experience God daily, moment by moment. As often as you and I take this Lord's table together, when we drink this, remember the blood that made everything possible for us in this life and in the life to come. As often as you drink, do this in remembrance of our Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you thanks. Thanks for loving us like no one else ever has or ever will. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross, for giving your body bruised and beaten for us, for shedding your blood, trickling down the Mount Calvary's hill so that we could know God, so that we could fellowship with Him and experience all the glories of our Father in this life. May we never for a second forget what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And each time that we remember, may our hearts be pricked. May we remain tender so that we realize it was all for us. He didn't have to. He chose to. Lord Jesus, we magnify you this day for your salvific work, for bringing us back to God, for redeeming our souls so that we might eternally live with the Heavenly Father. Thank you, and thank you for allowing us to enter your presence and remember your sacrifice. I pray that this time has been sincere in our hearts and has been dear to yours. We love you and we give you all the glory that's due you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand with us as we sing together, Majesty. Amen. I leave you with this benediction. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Y'all have a great afternoon. Don't forget, as you leave, we're collecting benevolence offering. Also, 5 o'clock tonight, down at the picnic shelter. God bless you. Have a great afternoon.